Radio Krishna presents Stories from the Vedic Scriptures. Today's episode is entitled The Appearance of Lord Jagannath and His Chariot Festival. It is based on articles that appeared in Back to Godhead magazine, which was started by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder and spiritual guide of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Your narrator is Amala Bhaktadas. For thousands of years, devotees of Lord Krishna have journeyed to Jagannath Puri in India to take part in the annual celebration called Ratha Yatra, the Festival of the Chariots. Here, devotees glorify one of the pastimes of Lord Krishna, which he performed about 5,000 years ago in a 2-mile parade of 3 50-foot-high chariots. Along the way, the devotees tug the thick ropes of the chariots and pull them forward to their destination. In recent years, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness has been perpetuating this ancient tradition. Thus, colossal Ratha Yatra chariots have been appearing in major cities around the world, leading many observers to wonder, amid the excitement and joy of the celebration, what does it all mean? Who are those wooden figures riding on the chariots? And how did this festival originate? Although Lord Krishna is the origin of the entire cosmos, he regularly appears within it, playing the part of a human being, while at the same time exhibiting the powers and opulences of his supreme position. The purpose of his pastimes on earth is to reestablish the essence of all religious principles, namely, unalloyed love of God.
Jai Balade, Jai Subhadra.
At one time, Lord Krishna, accompanied by his brother Balaram and his sister Subhadra, visited Kurukshetra, a holy site in north-central India. They did so to observe the ancient Vedic custom of bathing at a holy place during a solar eclipse. On this auspicious occasion, many great devotees of the Lord, who had been separated from him for many years, were reunited with him. Foremost among them were the villagers of Vrindavan, where Krishna had spent his early years before he had left to live as a king in the opulent city of Dvarka. During Krishna's absence from Vrindavan, the devotees there, especially Srimati Radharani, his most beloved devotee, always thought of him and longed for his return. So when Srimati Radharani met Krishna at Kurukshetra, she invited him to return to Vrindavan and again enjoy the loving pastimes with his devotees there. Today, those who take part in the Ratha Yatra festival can share in the feelings of Krishna's devotees who drew him back to Vrindavan with their love. Each of the three chariots bears a wooden statue of either Lord Jagannath, also known as Krishna, Lord Balaram, his brother, and Subhadra, his sister. Although these forms are made of wood, they are not idols, false or imaginary objects of worship, but are authorized incarnations of the one God who consents to appear in such forms at the request of his pure devotees. For this reason, the forms are called deities and are worshipable. They accept the worship and service of the devotees and, in return, bestow their merciful blessings on them. Such blessings result in the devotees developing more love for them, which then enables the devotees to become free of the bondage of this material world and finally return home, back to Godhead or the Lord's abode. Enthusiastic participants in the festival experience a blissful transcendental reciprocation with the deities. And even many worldly-minded persons are unexpectedly awakened to spiritual life. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada introduced Ratha Yatra to the Western world in 1969 in San Francisco. Since then, the festival has spread to many cities in the United States, South America, Europe, Australia, and even India, where ISKCON Ratha Yatra festivals have given new life to this ancient tradition.
Jai Jagannath, Jai Jagannath.
Krishna devotees take pleasure in the months of planning and hard work that go into making the festival a success. They understand that of all welfare activities, the distribution of Krishna consciousness is the most beneficial for everyone, for it ultimately puts an end to all miseries. The story of how the form of Lord Jagannath appeared in this world is a fascinating episode in Vedic history, and it occurred thousands of years ago as follows. King Indradyumna was a great devotee of Lord Vishnu and was very eager to meet him face to face. One time, by the Lord's arrangement, a devotee of the Lord arrived in the court of King Indradyumna. In the course of discussion, he began to talk about an incarnation of Lord Vishnu named Nila Madhava. After hearing these topics, King Indradyumna became very inspired and sent different Brahmins in different directions to search for and inquire about Lord Nila Madhava. All of them, however, were unsuccessful and returned to the capital city of the king, except for one priest of the name Vidyapati. After wandering in many places, Vidyapati finally came to a district whose population was of a non-Aryan type called Shabra. There he took shelter in the house of a man named Vishvasu. When he arrived, the master of the house was not there, but his young daughter, Lalita, was there alone. In a short time, the master of the house returned and instructed his daughter to render all service needed for hospitality to the Brahmin guest. For some time, Vidyapati stayed there, and later, by the special request of the Shabra, he married the Shabra's young daughter. While Vidyapati lived in the house of the Shabra, he noticed some peculiarity in his host's behavior. For every night, the Shabra would go out, and on the next day, at about noon, he would return to the house, scented with various fragrances, such as camphor, musk, and sandalwood. Vidyapati inquired from his wife about the reason for this, and she informed him that her father would go out to a secret place to worship Sri Nila Madhava. After that day, Vidyapati's joy knew no bounds. Actually, Lalita had been ordered by her father not to tell anyone about Sri Nila Madhava, but she overstepped that order by telling her husband. Vidyapati immediately became eager to see Sri Nila Madhava. Finally, one day, by the repeated request of his daughter, Vishvasu bound the eyes of Vidyapati and took him to see Sri Nilamadava. As they were leaving, Vidyapati's wife secretly bound some mustard seeds in the border of Vidyapati's cloth. And so, while passing on the path, he threw them down to mark the way. When they reached Sri Nilamadava, the Shabara removed the blindfold, and Vidyapati, seeing the unprecedented beauty of the deity of Sri Nilamadava, began to dance in ecstasy and offer prayers. After Vidyapati finished his prayers, the Shabara kept him near the deity and went out to collect roots and forest flowers for worship. While the Shabara was out, Vidyapati witnessed an astounding thing. A sleeping crow fell off a branch of a tree into a nearby lake and drowned. It immediately assumed a four-armed Vaikuntha, or spiritual form, and started back to the spiritual sky. Seeing this, the Brahmin climbed up the tree and was about to jump into the lake to follow the liberated crow. But as he was about to jump, a voice in the sky said, "O Brahmin, since you have been able to see Sri Nilamadava, you should, before all else, inform King Indradyumna." Thus the Brahmin climbed down from the tree and waited. The Shabara soon returned, carrying forest flowers and roots, and started his daily worship of Lord Nilamadava. As he was engaged in the service of the Lord, the Lord spoke to him, saying, "I have for so many days accepted the simple forest flowers and roots offered to me by you. Now I desire royal service offered to me by my devotee, King Indradyumna." When the Shabara heard this, he thought, "I shall be cheated from the service of Sri Nilamadava." Therefore, he bound his son-in-law Vidyapati and kept him in his house. After a time, however, at the repeated request of his daughter, he freed the Brahmin and allowed him to go. The Brahmin then immediately went to King Indradyumna and informed him of the discovery. The king, in great ecstasy, went forth with many people to bring back Sri Nilamadava. From the mustard seeds thrown along the path by Vidyapati, small plants had grown. So, by following these plants, the king was able to trace the path to Sri Nilamadava. When they reached the spot, however, they did not find him. Not being able to see the beautiful form of the Lord, King Indradyumna besieged the village of the Shabaras and arrested Vishvasu. Suddenly, however, a voice in the sky said to the king, "Release this Shabara. On top of Nila Hill, you should construct a temple. There, as Daru Brahman, or the Absolute Truth, manifest in a wooden form, you will see me. You will not see me as Nilamadava." The holy abode of Sri Kshetra, or the city of Puri, is in the shape of a conch, and in the navel of that conch, the king established a town of the name Ramakrishnapura and constructed the temple. The temple extended 60 cubits beneath the earth and rose 120 cubits above the surface. At the top of the temple, the king built a kalasa, or round pinnacle, and on top of that, a chakra or disc. He also had the temple decorated with golden ornamentation. Then King Indradyumna, desiring for Lord Brahma to consecrate the temple, traveled to Lord Brahma's planet and spent a long time there waiting for him. During that time, the temple, which is very near the sea, became covered with sand from the shore. When King Indradyumna was away, first Suradeva and then Galamadava presided as the kings of that area. But it was Galamadava who raised the temple from within the sands where it had been buried for a long time. Shortly after the temple was uncovered, however, King Indradyumna returned from Lord Brahma's abode. Indradyumna claimed that he had constructed the temple, but Galamadava put forward the claim that he was its constructor. Nonetheless, in a banyan tree near the temple lived a Busundi crow who had been living through many ages, constantly singing the name of Lord Rama. From his abode, on the branches of that banyan tree, the crow had seen the whole construction of the temple. Therefore, he made it known that actually King Indradyumna had constructed the temple, and that in his absence, it had been covered by sand. He further said that King Galamadava had later merely uncovered the temple. Because King Galamadava had concealed the truth, Lord Brahma then ordered him to reside outside the grounds of the temple on the western side of the lake. Indradyumna then prayed to Lord Brahma to consecrate the temple and the surrounding area known as Sri Kshetra, which gives the highest type of liberation. But Lord Brahma said, "This Sri Kshetra is manifested by the Supreme Lord's own internal potency, and the Supreme Lord manifests himself. Therefore, it is not within my power to install the Lord here. Lord Jagannath and his abode are eternally situated in this material world by his own mercy. Therefore, I shall simply place a flag on the top of the temple and give this blessing. Anyone who from a distance sees this flag and bows down, offering his prostrated obeisances, shall easily become liberated." After some time, King Indradyumna became discouraged at so much delay in seeing Sri Nilamadava. Deciding that his life was useless, he lay down on a bed of kusha grass, being determined to give up his life by fasting. At that time, Lord Jagannath spoke to him in a dream as follows. "My dear king, don't be anxious. I shall come floating in from the sea in my wooden form as Daru Brahman, at the place called Banki Muhan. With a company of soldiers, the king then went to that place and saw on the shore a huge piece of wood marked with a conch, disc, club, and lotus. Although he engaged many men and elephants to move that Daru Brahman or Woody Brahman, they couldn't even budge it. But that night, in a dream, Lord Jagannath again spoke to the king, saying, "Bring my previous servant, Vishvasu, who used to serve me as Nilamadava, and place a golden chariot in front of Daru Brahman." Thank you. The king began to work according to the instruction of that dream. He brought the Shabra Vishvasu and put him on one side of Daru Brahman, and on the other side, he put the Brahman Vidyapati. Placing a golden chariot before the Daru Brahman, he then started kirtan, chanting of the holy names of the Supreme Lord. Next, the king caught hold of Daru Brahman and prayed for the Lord to mount the chariot. Daru Brahman was then easily placed on the chariot and taken to an appointed place. There, Lord Brahma began a sacrifice and established a deity of Lord Nrsingadev on the raised platform of the sacrifice. It is said that the place where the present temple stands is the place where the sacrifice was performed, and that the Nrsinga deity, now standing at the western side of the Mukti Mandapa in the temple compound, is that original Nrsinga deity. To carve the deity of Lord Jagannath from the Daru Brahman, King Indradyumna called many expert sculptors. None of them, however, was able to touch Daru Brahman. For as soon as they started, their chisels broke and fell to pieces. Finally, the Supreme Lord himself came, but in the disguise of an old artist who introduced himself as Ananta Maharana. He promised that if he were allowed to work behind closed doors for 21 days, the deity would be carved. Immediately, preparations were made. According to the old sculptor's directions, all the other artists were engaged in making three chariots. After making the king promise that the sculptor would reside alone, and the king would not open the doors of the temple even slightly before the 21 days had elapsed, the old sculptor then took Daru Brahman into the temple and closed the doors. After 14 days had passed, however, the king was unable to hear the sounds of the artist's tools, and so he became full of anxiety. Although his minister again and again forbade him, the king, on the advice of his queen, opened the door of the temple with his own hand. Inside, the king did not find the old sculptor, but instead, he saw that Daru Brahman was manifested in three forms as Lord Jagannath, Lady Subhadra, and Lord Balaram. Going forward in front of these three deities, he saw that their fingers and toes were unfinished. The king's wise minister then informed him that the architect was none other than Lord Jagannath himself, and that because the king had broken his promise by opening the doors 7 days too soon, Lord Jagannath had manifested himself in that way. Then the king, thinking himself a great offender, decided to end his life. Thus again, he lay down on a bed of kusha grass and began fasting. When half the night had passed, Lord Jagannath appeared to the king in his dreams. The Lord said, I am eternally situated here in Nilachala, in the form of Lord Jagannath as Daru Brahman. In this material world, I descend in 24 deity incarnations with my abode. I have no material hands and feet, but with my transcendental senses, I accept all the items offered in service by my devotees. And for the benefit of the world, I move from one place to another. You have broken your promise, but that is just a part of the sweetness of my pastimes, to manifest this Jagannath form, which protects the eternal words of the Holy Scriptures. Anyway, those devotees whose eyes are smeared with the salve of love will always see me as Shyamasundara or Krishna, holding a flute. If your desire is to serve me in opulence, then from time to time I may be decorated with hands and feet made of gold or silver. The descendants of Vishvasu, who used to serve me as Nilamadava, should generation after generation serve me. They may be called my Dayatas. The descendants of Vidyapati, born from his Brahmin wife, should perform the deity worship for me. And his descendants, born from his Shabari wife, Lalita, should cook my food. They shall be known as Suyadas. Then King Indradyumna said to Lord Jagannath, "My Lord, kindly grant one favor to me. Let the doors to your temple be closed for only 3 hours a day. The rest of the time, let the doors be open so that all the residents of the universe may have access to see you. Further, let it be that all day long your eating may go on and that your lotus fingers may thus never become dry." Lord Jagannath replied, "So be it. And for yourself, what benediction do you ask?" The king replied, "So that no one in the future will be able to claim your temple as his own property, I desire to be without descendants. Kindly just grant me this one benediction." Lord Jagannath replied, "So be it." Thus the merciful Lord Jagannath, Subhadra, and Balaram appeared in this material world to benefit all living beings. But what is the benefit they bestow? That is stated in the Narada Purana, when the Supreme Lord Narayan tells his wife Lakshmi Devi, "In that great place, known as Jagannath Puri, the Jagannath deity fashioned by the Supreme Lord himself is situated. If men simply see that deity, they are easily able to come to my abode." In this way, Lord Jagannath is delivering the whole universe, especially as he rides on his cart before the eyes of all.
Jai Balade, Jai Subhadra, Jai Balade.
So the next time you see those huge, colorful chariots rolling down the street, surrounded by singing, dancing crowds, why not join the fun? It's the chance of a lifetime to become Krishna conscious or divinely blissful. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Today's story from the Vedic scriptures was entitled The Appearance of Lord Jagannath and His Chariot Festival. It was presented by Radio Krishna at the KHQN studios in Los Angeles. The material was based on articles that appeared in Back to Godhead magazine, which was started by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder and spiritual guide of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Your narrator was Amala Bhaktadas, and the engineering and musical selections were under the direction of Vaibhavi Devidasi.